la rescata Ben, la baja a Ben Rodríguez, girando, golazo, ataque, 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 gol, gol, vino, 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 gol de Mundial, ataque, ataque, gol, gol, ataque, ataque, gol, 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 ataque, ataque, gol, gol, ataque, ataque, gol, gol, ataque, ataque, vino, 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 de una patria llamada Colombia, qué golazo de James, una pintura.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Three Beers World Cup podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller. He is your co-host, City James of Manchester City fandom. James, everybody wants to know, how did your divorce party go?
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Couldn't have been better. Got in a few pictures. Some of my old friends, Lando was there, Chewy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Some Ewoks showed up.
I saw Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Jar Jar, not invited, but showed up anyway. and it was good.
I'm glad to hear that. And the night went long into the night with the cantina music. Nobody minded.
Yeah. That was the music everyone wanted to hear, and we kept pumping it. So 10 hours, cantina music. Riot juice, all the good stuff.
What did you eat and drink?
Riot juice.
You make cupcakes? What did you say?
Riot juice.
Did you make cupcakes?
No.
No, just like the Riot juice. Stormtrooper cupcakes?
If someone had volunteered to make Stormtrooper cupcakes, I would have gladly had them.
I apologize. I probably could have done that.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be a winner, James. That's all there is to it. Well, fresh off his divorce party, James, are you ready to jump into Group H?
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put it off because I want to jump into some news. So I'm glad that you're ready. But I want to talk about Leroy Sané not making the German squad. And you, as a Manchester City fan who got to watch him all season long, how do you feel about that?
You mean, you know, that's PFA Young Player of the Year, Leroy Sané.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I mean, it's the German national team's loss, and it's Manchester City's gain. He's going to have a nice rest. The Prem should be scared. He's going to have a full rest, not going to have to worry about any fatigue or injuries from overzealous defenders. So I'm fine with it as a City fan. I'm not a German national team fan, but if I was, I'd probably be a little bit upset.
Yeah, so Dr. Pete and I talked about it on the episode with the German national team. I just think that he's so dynamic coming in that he adds a different element, but the Germans play a pretty controlled game, a pretty methodical game, and that kind of almost chaos, I guess it just wasn't welcome.
This is a classic German move. I mean, they want stability, they want people that are going to be fall in line with the way they want to do it, and they have a nice, stable pick in Julian Brandt to replace Leroy Sané.
But the difference in talent between Brandt and Sané, and even I don't rate Draxler that highly either. He's okay on he's good on his day.
Didn't have a great season.
No.
At the end, it wasn't even starting for PSG, I don't think.
No, and I have a hard time with a guy that can completely disappear in big matches. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the knock against Sané is that he's can be inconsistent, and I guess, you know, for the national team he probably hasn't.
He hasn't played well.
He hasn't stood out. Yeah, definitely not. I mean, he's had some okay games. He's had a couple good games, but he's never had any great games, and he doesn't have great stats.
No, he doesn't. And I think for me, I mean, what Sané is he's your wild card off the bench. I mean, when Messi was 18, 19 during the World Cup, he was coming in off the bench. I mean, take those guys, these dynamic young players who can have that confidence that they maybe even shouldn't have, like they're too young to know any better, and they're just taking guys on. You bring them on when you're down 1-0, and yeah, you can really throw a grenade into the mix, you know?
No, I agree, and they're kind of lacking that a little bit for the German team, outside of like Rias and, Ozil can do something. I mean, Draxler can be that kind of player, but again, he hasn't had a great season. I don't see Brandt doing that, and I don't see Mario Gomez adding much to the team, but and yet he's there.
Yeah, I think Gomez is just your traditional number nine to come in and thump in headers from traditional German play. I don't actually think that Gomez shouldn't be on the squad. I think it's more that Julian Brand shouldn't be on the squad if you're going to replace Sané.
I mean, I've heard a couple of different. I heard they didn't like that Lowe didn't like his attitude. Said he came in to training camp acting like a big time Charlie, you know.
Something you have no familiarity with.
No, not me. Pretty grounded. But he and also there was something the Confederations Cup. Sané actually sat out to have a nose operation because he claimed that he had issues breathing through his nose, so they kind of like drilled it off. So he missed the whole Confederations Cup, and apparently some people are saying that they're holding that against him.
Well, the Germans didn't take their starters to the Confederation Cup, right? Like, they pretty much took their backups.
Yeah,
And he would be in that group of backups, and I guess...
At that point, he absolutely was. I mean...
Yeah.
He was very new on the scene.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to me. I also want to talk about the Peruvian center midfielder that you and I were discussing that had the problem. He got basically a cocaine test.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back, which is really rare for it to happen. But essentially, a court overturned the ruling. And actually, one of the cool things that happened was that the captains from France and the rest of the group all wrote letters to FIFA saying that he should be allowed in. And in the end, it actually ended up happening. I don't think I've ever, since like doping has been around and especially prevalent in the like 90s and 2000s, I don't know if I've ever seen like a successful overturning with like a positive outcome.
Yeah, no, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Especially in this case, because he was banned for an original length of time where he was still going to make the World Cup, and then they went back and like doubled his ban.
They've done that before. They did it to Mexico. They've done that.
But then they came back and that now they've rescinded it and he can play. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But good for him, because from everything I read, he was innocent and he maintained his innocence the whole time. So I guess he was innocent.
I don't think I've seen it in any of the bannings that have happened or the doping that's happened in sports in the last 20 years where a guy actually is found innocent. So good for him. Good for Peru. He's their captain.
Really
so
good for Peru. Yeah, that's
huge deal for them. And you know, on to the soccer, right?
Sure, bring it on.
Group H, to me, it is the most balanced group, and I believe that there are three teams that can come out of here. I think that there's a really good chance that it could be in any order, not the order that the bookmakers would have them in, which is Poland at 40-1, Colombia at 50-1, Senegal at 150-1, and Japan at 250-1. Those are the odds to win the tournament. That's what we use to kind of gauge where these teams stand in the general pool. Let's start with Poland, James. The winners of Group E ahead of Denmark, Montenegro, and Romania. And plus 14 goal differential, 8 out of 10 wins. Managed by Adam Nowacka. And their best player is Robert Lewandowski. So I've been doing a lot of research on this, James. And Robert Lewandowski from Bayern Munich obviously is the player on the marquee, right?
Yeah.
So, like, half the articles I read were saying that Poland is not a one-man team, right? And then in the next line, it would say Lewandowski scored 16 goals in qualifying.
Yeah.
In 10 matches.
Yeah.
So, I don't buy the fact that this is not a one-man team. They do have a lot of European talent. I agree with that. They have a lot of solid European talent. They did lose Glick, the center back from Monaco. That could be a big deal. But, James, where is this Poland team going to go if not to Lewandowski?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely – it's funny. I was also reading a lot of the same articles, and it's almost like a case of, like, you know, he doth protest too much. it's absolutely a one-man team.
Yeah.
I mean, not that some of these other guys aren't good. I mean, I like Szczesny in goal. I like Krakowiak, actually. Yeah. I think he's a good defensive player, but they're not World Cup winners. You know, they're not World Cup level talent. They're good players. Lewandowski is a superstar.
Yeah, I like Zielinski too from Napoli. I think he is where they would go. The thing is, if something happens to Lewandowski, like an injury or a red card or something, which would be rare, he's not really that kind of guy.
Or he just has a bad game.
Yeah, which he's done before on the World Cup stage. I would say that Zielinski can pull the strings, but who are you pulling the strings to at that point? You know, you got a guy right now that, say you get four opportunities a game, he's going to score them, but their defense is really leaky in qualifying.
Right, yeah. And it wasn't a super strong qualifying group.
No, it wasn't. I mean, you had Denmark, of course. Denmark carried by Eriksson, but, balanced team. Montenegro and Romania, not strong teams. And you have to think that for Poland to get through, Lewandowski is going to have to play well. And their defense, most importantly, their defense, which allowed the most goals of any of the group winners with 14 in 10 games, I think it's all actually on the defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were saying Lewandowski has to have good games. Lewandowski has to score goals.
Yeah.
Not just have good games. And I don't think that Poland escapes, especially I think in this group, they're not going to be looking at keeping clean sheets every game.
No, that's what I worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially they had to get 3 points from the Senegal team, from the Senegal match. Wouldn't you agree, like, that's the big match for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm surprised that Poland have better odds than Colombia, honestly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, they're, you know, 1, 2, and 3 could end up in any position in this group. So, looking at it, I think Senegal definitely is a team that they 100% need to get 3 points against.
Yeah, especially with Senegal's offense matching up against their defense with Glick out. And then you have Lewandowski versus a Senegalese defense should be something they can exploit. But, I mean, I would expect all their games to have at least one goal in each direction and probably more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you called out Zielinski on the Poland side. Senegal also has a player from Napoli, and Koulibaly, who is a beast.
Yeah.
He is a monster of a player, and you know that coming into any game against Poland, the game plan is shut down Lewandowski.
Yeah.
And they have players that are physically able to compete, you know, height and strength wise with Lewandowski. I think Poland's going to have a tough game against Senegal.
Yeah, you should be watching for Kalidou Koulibaly from Napoli versus Robert Lewandowski of Poland. And I think that it's going to be an awesome matchup between the two of them. A lot of skill there. And I like Poland. They do have more than just Lewandowski. The problem is that he is so much of their offense that if he's not on, they're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
So their player to watch, as we said before, is going to be Zielinski. He's that complementary piece to Lewandowski. If they can get it rolling, they could roll through the group. At the same time, their defense is a little bit shaky. And as we said, watch for the Senegal match. The history for the Polish national team, they've qualified in 8 of 21 World Cups. They did not enter in 30, 34, 50, or 54. And they have 2 third-place finishes, James, in 74 and 82. But they've only qualified twice since 1990, and they were knocked out of the group both times. So while they are favored, they are definitely probably the least favored group winners, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, and they were back in that 2002 World Cup. They were in a group with USA and Portugal.
Yeah,
and I can't remember if we qualified out of that group, but I can't remember if we beat them or not.
No, I'd have to look it up. They have the talent to get through, but if their defense leaks, they're going to be in trouble. Their historic player is Grzegorz Lato, a Golden Boot winner. Yeah, I did the best I could with that pronunciation.
I think you did all right with the last name.
There's two Z's. There's a Z after an R. What am I supposed to do with that? 10 out of 20. 10 goals in 20 matches in World Cups in 74, 78, and 82. I also want to comment on a historic player, the heavily mustached Zbigniew Boniek of Juventus fame. Absolutely stellar mustache, James.
Yeah, it's a famous mustache.
Yeah, you wish. You wish. Moving on to that Senegal team, 150 to 1. I actually think they're better than that.
Well, I don't know about winning. That's odds for winning the cup, right?
Yes, to win the cup.
I mean, getting out of their group or progressing, I guess, a certain... They're a good team. They're a strong team. I think that's... I might agree with that in terms of winning the whole thing, but they have potential.
Yeah. So they finished first in a weak Africa Group D ahead of Burkina Faso, South Africa, and Cape Verde. That's a pretty weak group.
Super weak. But hey, they finished first.
They did. Plus 7 goal differential. They actually had a match against South Africa replayed after it was proven that the ref had influenced the match unfairly, giving a PK right before the half. That's pretty nuts.
That's amazing to me. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
How about all the handballs that aren't given as penalties?
Yeah.
Around the world.
Well, the ball hit the I think it hit Kabali's knee. It wasn't even close.
Yeah. So that guy was. So these are the African refs that are taking bribes. Did you see that news story?
Yeah,
I did. On film, take it. So, and we were talking about me taking a bribe before. They did it for $600.
Ugh. Yeah.
I at least was going to talk about thousands.
Yeah. Yeah, really unfortunate stories for sure. You know, a lot of these countries, not a lot of money there, and you know that's you got a lot of risk there too. You know,
we'll be keeping track of handballs this tournament.
Yeah, you can count on it. Anyway, the Senegal team, lightning fast, James Lewis. You got Alou Cisse is their manager. He, of course, captained their 2002 mm-hmm. World Cup run as a player. Their player to watch, Keita Balde of Monaco and Kalidou Koulibaly from Napoli, as we said before. And their best player, Sadio Mane.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as he can keep his boot down below face level.
Yeah, I know that stings a little bit. No pun intended. The Ederson hack to the face from Sadio Mane. You know, he's not that kind of player for sure, but it was a red card. And, you know, at the time, it was a red card. It was a mistake, but it's still a red card.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll have that problem. I do think that he is a massive danger to Poland's back line.
To everyone in the group, I think. He's electric. He's a good player.
Yeah, this Senegal team is lightning fast, and they're surprisingly a European-based team mostly. And the fans will all be familiar with their Premier League midfield with Diame, Kayate, mm-hmm. and Gaye. Those are all Prem players that play defensive midfield, central midfield roles.
Or box to box. I like Kouyaté a lot, actually. Yeah. I think he had a great season. I think he's a very talented player.
Yeah, they have a good team here. On the attack, of course, they have Mane and Balde, which is an explosive attacking pair as there is in the World Cup.
And I think they're kind of underdogs right now, and that's exactly when they've performed in the past. I think Colombia and Poland have to watch out because Senegal's coming for him, no doubt.
I agree. Look for Balde on the ball. He's the kind of guy, he's got size and speed, and he will take a guy on while the ball is still, if that makes sense. He's more of a one-on-one type of dribbler. And then you have Mane, who's a space dribbler, as in they play balls over the top to him, and he's just mm-hmm. gone.
Yeah.
He's also a very cool finisher, Mane is.
He's on a hot streak. He's been doing really well.
Yeah, and he's a streaky player that can carry you for sure. Their hopes will hinge heavily on that match against Poland. Anything you want to add about Senegal in terms of the narrative behind the team? Other than for an African team, it has a pretty quiet background.
Yeah, they're not one of the traditional powerhouses. I mean, they made that splash in the previous World Cup in 2002. I think they're strong. They've got a great attacking team, and I think that, you know, if they can keep it together defensively, they're going to... I like them to get out of the group.
Yeah, I think it's a really good chance for them to get out of the group. The historic player is Papa Boba Diop, formerly of Fulham.
Great player.
11 goals, 63 games for him, and 3 goals in 5 matches as a center back.
He was like 6'7 or something.
3 goals as a center back.
He was a giant player. He was like six foot. He's like Peter Crouch tall.
Oh man. I thought that was amazing though. 3 goals from a center back. They were all headers.
Yeah. He's giant.
I think he scored 2 of them against France.
He is a giant.
Yeah. So be looking for Senegal on the counterattack against both Poland and Colombia. Colombia is the next team, 50-1, right there with Poland, really. They qualified fourth out of that ridiculous CONMEBOL behind Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina. Just a +2 goal differential, but, you know, in that group, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that is a ridiculous group. I think they're the strongest team in the group. I think they're much stronger than Poland is all around, and I like them. What can I say?
What makes you say that they're stronger than Poland?
Well, I think, one, they have a more balanced attack. It's not just one player, although, obviously, Rodriguez is going to be the linchpin. But they have veteran attackers, Cuadrado, Falcao.
Yeah.
And then you look at the back, and they have a good mix of young talent in Davinson Sanchez.
I like him, too.
Yeah, and some older, like, more experienced players. I just think it's a much more well-rounded team.
Yeah, I think you have that headline player. You have James Rodriguez of Bayern Munich and kind of Real Madrid or vice versa. Of course, had that money 2014 cup run with a couple ridiculous goals. He's a player that playing in that 10 position, if he can get a couple balls laid off, he can score from outside the box. He can score from free kicks, and he can finish from inside the box as well. Extremely dynamic and will be awesome to match up against the rest of the defense in this group.
And he's coming off of a very strong season with Bayern Munich.
Yes. Their manager is Jose Pekerman. Pekerman's actually the man, James.
Yeah, he's a dude.
He's got a tough name, but he led Argentina to the quarterfinals. He led Colombia to the quarterfinals, and they just let him stay on.
Yeah, I would. You know, just, hey, I don't want you to hang around.
Very well-organized team with sound defensive tactics, which you wouldn't expect from a Colombian team, but they are defensively sound, and having the same manager from one World Cup to another means that they've had time to get to know his tactics now, and that's a big advantage in this tournament where you have so much upheaval at the manager role.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we talked about a few other teams that had just crazy manager turnover. Having that kind of continuity is huge.
Yeah. So look for James Rodriguez, Cuadrado, as you mentioned, and Falcao in the attack. I have a question for you, James. So I was looking at historic players, and this is another situation where this is probably their golden generation. I mean, it is their golden generation. Who would you take? And keep in mind that Falcao had a lot of his biggest success, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when he was in the Ballon d'Or running.
Right.
For their best player, I'll give you your options. James Rodriguez, all time, Radamel Falcao, or Carlos Valderrama.
I'd take Valderrama. I think talent wise, there's no doubt that James Rodriguez is the best of the group. Falcao had his moment and was a prolific scorer, but talent-wise, and Valderrama is an amazing player, too. I don't want to... He's a little bit different than James and Falcao, more of a creator, but I would take James as the best player.
I agree with that. I do like Valderrama, though. I mean, his passing to me was always awesome.
He had a little style, a little swagger to him.
Oh, he had swagger, man. He kept it in his hair. Valderrama, 11 goals in 111 appearances for the national team. One goal in 10 matches in the World Cup. He played in 90, 94, and 98. And I believe that if they make any kind of run out of this group, which is a very good chance they will, that it won't even be a question that James Rodriguez is their best player ever.
Yeah. I mean, he's the leader, you know, talent-wise and probably on the field.
Yes, he is. The history of the Colombian national team, they've qualified in 5 of 22 eligible World Cups. They had 4 wins in 2014, and they did reach the round of 16 in 1990, but they were banned in 1954. This is an interesting story, James. They were banned in 1954 from breaking off from FIFA and going rogue with their actual Colombian league. Did you ever read about this?
No, this is new to me.
So they broke off from FIFA. They had a disagreement with FIFA, and because they broke off, they could sign players from like the Argentinian league and the Brazilian league and European leagues. they could sign players without transfer fees, and essentially those players could just rip up their contracts and go and play for these guys in this league. So FIFA said, if you're going to do that and ruin all the leagues around you, which is what they did, they call it the El Dorado, because during that time period, there was so much good talent, because there were no transfer fees, all the players would get the salary bumps instead, and they had all these fantastic players running through the league. So FIFA banned them in 1954 from playing in the World Cup for their role in that, and then, of course, eventually they backed down, and FIFA told them, you have a year or two, and then all these players have to return to the countries that you bought them from, and we'll let you back in the World Cup.
That's a little wild.
That's a little weird. Yeah. Really interesting. I know Dr. Pete had asked me in one of the episodes how often teams got banned, and it does happen. There's the World War II stuff. There's some other political stuff. If countries are not deemed as free, a lot of times they could have some problems with that.
Now we just let them host it.
Yeah. 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 They're going to do that, aren't they, with Qatar?
It seems like it.
Yeah. Not great. Not great.
No comment.
Anyway, Colombia 50-1. Moving on to Japan, 250-1, and I believe it's probably longer than that, to be honest with you, James. Winners of Asia Group B ahead of Saudi Arabia, Australia, and the UAE with a plus 10 goal differential. So that's good. That's good, James.
They won that group ahead of an Australian team that a lot of people, they like. They like that Australian team. And Saudi Arabia, not super terrible, but 250-1. Probably is an optimistic view for them.
I think it is too. So the reason that I think it is, it's not because of their qualifying campaign. It's because they fired their manager in April of this year, like as in like a month ago, April.
Yeah.
Vahid Halilhodžić was fired in April, and they brought in their technical director of their FA, Akira Nishino, and now they have to basically rebuild all their tactics, and I was reading about that. And the reason that their manager was fired was because he wasn't bringing any of their star players, like Honda wasn't on the team, Kagawa was on the outskirts, Ozaki was on the outskirts, so none of these players that played on big European teams were actually in the squad, and the team said, we don't feel comfortable. The Japanese national team said, we don't feel comfortable going to World Cup without our best players.
That's kind of weird. Like the whole, I mean, that statement from the players.
Yeah, very strange.
I get it. I mean, they've been through the trenches with these guys. I mean, Honda, Kagawa, and Nozaki, they've been stalwarts of the Japanese national team forever.
Yeah, especially Honda.
So they're a part of the team. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's like, you don't. How, as a player yourself, right? How are you going to sit there and say, oh, I don't want to go. I can't go unless Honda goes.
Yeah, very strange. I think they just hated the manager the whole time. They were talking about how rigid he was in terms of his tactics, but he was very efficient and he led them into the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah, it's a strange. I mean, it fits right up there with some of the other strange managerial decisions we've seen from other nations, but I don't know, people just get wacky around World Cup time, you know? It's like everyone's getting excitable. Yeah,
it makes it so much fun. So I was watching their friendly against Ghana, and very strange match. They operated in a 3-5-2, which was completely different from what they did in qualifying, and it was a very awkward game. They had some success on the wings, but were poor, really, really poor marking with the back three. And that's a problem. If your back three, when you play that system, if they're not on the same page because this is their first match playing like that, they're going to be in big trouble against Poland and Senegal.
I just think that's such a risky move. I mean, playing with a back three is not super common anywhere. And
although England's doing it now.
England, I mean, some teams, right? But I mean, yeah. These players aren't playing on those teams. And, you know, to go from a traditional back four to a back three that no one's practiced before in the national team, no one's practiced, you know, season long at their club teams, you're not going to have any of the fluidity you need. And to deal with attacks that have players like James Rodriguez and Falcao, or Lewandowski and Zielinski, or Sadio Mane and Keita Balde, you're just asking to get ripped open.
I think that's a really good way to sum it up, honestly. I think they don't have enough time to put in place a defensive system. Maya Yoshida of Southampton and the center backs of Hasabe and Makino were the ones that were playing in the friendly. They just don't look like they're on the same page. They look really uncomfortable. And honestly, they probably have the worst goalkeeper in the tournament. I'm not kidding. Kawashima of the football club de Metz, I don't think he's very good. And I think they're in big trouble.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna have a disoriented back three, at least I'd hope you have a superstar keeper, and they don't.
No, they don't. I think that there's no chance that they finish anywhere but fourth. And I think that there's a good chance that they lose by three more than once. I really think that they're in big trouble.
I mean, and if the players had a big part in, like, pushing the coach out, I think they're doing themselves total disservice by going in under this completely unknown formation that they haven't practiced at all.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's a crazy, from the players' perspective, I mean, okay, get over it. Your best players aren't coming. You know, you guys, they earn the right to be there without them.
Exactly.
You know, ahead of other World Cup bound teams.
Yeah, I agree completely.
So stick with it and give it your all.
Just, it doesn't make sense to me, because the turmoil is what will actually sink you, not your tactics.
Yeah.
And not leaving a couple players behind, because that happens in every World Cup. There are players left behind. We spent a lot of time talking about players that are left behind, yeah, including Leroy Sané. The tactics are more important, and the team as a collective is more important than single players. And they were plus 10 in their group, and Saudi Arabia and Australia, not terrible teams, so it's not like that was a joke. They won the group.
Yeah, they won the group.
So I would be very surprised if they could get over the chaos that is within their FA right now. Historically, Japan actually is really on the rise. They've qualified in six straight World Cups. That's 6 of 21 for them. Their best finish, yeah, was in the round of 16 in 2002 when they were joint host, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And 2010, they were banned in 1950 for World War II. Mm-hmm. Is it too soon to talk about that, or we're gonna let that go?
Yeah, let's just we'll pass.
We'll pass on that one. All right. Historic players: Kazuki Honda. You know, I was really surprised that he moved to Mexico. I thought he still had some talent.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's only 31.
That was it, too. I thought he was 35.
I always liked Honda as a player. I thought, you know, he's got the long-range banger in him every, yep, once in a while. He's hit some crazy, like, knuckleball free kicks. I think he's a good player. Absolutely. I don't think he has the legs that he used to have. And that's why he's dropped down to playing in Mexico. Although, from all accounts, he had a good season. But I mean, when he was playing at AC Milan and he was a major player in the Serie A, I mean, that was his heyday. He's not there anymore.
Really surprised that he went to Mexico. I'm trying to figure it out, because he went there when he was 30, and he's a technical player, so it's not a skill set that erodes quickly. You know what I mean? Like, technical players can play forever.
Yeah.
So I'm just a little surprised by that. He's a false nine kind of center attacking midfielder, but he plays a lot of his game comes around free kicks, like you said, and he's very, very dangerous from range. 3 goals in 7 World Cup matches, which is very impressive, and 36 goals from 95 international matches. I'm not sure how you can leave a guy like that behind.
Unless he's passed it.
He might be. We'll find out, although, as you just said, he did have a solid season in Mexico, so I don't think it's going to matter. If anything, he'll score their one goal that they have in 3 matches. I'm really, really down on Japan.
Yeah, they have good players, and especially now that they're bringing their good players with them, but, I mean, I don't see Honda, Kagawa, or Ozaki being the kind of guys to drag this team out of the muck and beat the likes of Colombia, Senegal, or Poland.
You have 3 teams with well-rehearsed attacking tactics versus a defense that is in disarray and a goalie that is poor. That's not a good recipe.
Yeah, I mean, Colombia has a great... They have that stability from keeping Pekerman on. Senegal is being led by the last World Cup quarterfinal hero.
Mm-hmm.
And Poland has... Lewandowski telling everyone what to do and being the focal point. So they're all aligned against Japan.
No World War II joke?
Nothing, no.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, so Poland, Senegal, Colombia, Japan. James, give me the order they finish in.
I'm taking it Colombia, Senegal, Poland, Japan.
All right. I am going to take Senegal, Poland, Colombia, Japan. So the reason I'm picking Senegal first is I think that they blitz and they get into a shootout with Poland. That will be the difference in this group. And I think Poland has enough quality besides Lewandowski to take apart Colombia. And I think the big match will be which one of these teams really puts it to Japan for 3 to 5 goals. And that's their goal differential, which takes them through.
You have Lewandowski scoring 5 goals against Japan, don't you?
I did not say that, but it's a possibility.
Who are they going to have mark him?
I don't think they have anybody to mark him, and I think that Poland's just going to bomb balls into Lewandowski, and he's going to do that trick like he did coming off the bench for Bayern Munich, where he scored 5 goals in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Yoshida playing for Southampton, not a great center back to begin with, and certainly not on the caliber you need to stop Poland.
No.
I mean, Lewandowski.
Yeah, I still think it's an exciting group because it has 3 teams that could all top the group. And those matches that they play in between the Japan matches, I think they're going to be really exciting.
Oh, I agree. I think Colombia, Senegal, and Poland make this a really exciting group, and those games are going to be awesome.
All right, James, anything you want to add to Group H?
Group H, no. I think, you know, like I said, I like Senegal coming out of it, and I like Colombia. I think they're a better overall team than Poland. That might be a shock to some people to see Poland go out in the groups, but not for me. I'll be saying I told you so.
Fair enough. Something I would never imagine you would do, but I'll be expecting it. So, James, we have finished our World Cup preview. We will do another episode. Woo. You can give me another woo.
Whew.
We will do another episode next week, right before the match between Saudi Arabia and Russia. It'll be out the day before, like Tuesday, I think. I'll put it out Tuesday night.
The grudge match.
I'm not sure which host I will have with me. James, I know that you're a busy man, so we can't always ride your schedule, you know?
Well, I'm always happy to be here when I can.
I appreciate that, because I'm going to need lots of co-hosts. All right, for James Lewis, I am Tom Miller saying thank you for listening to our preview podcast. We will continue with the match podcast. And going into next week when the World Cup starts, we have one more that'll come out on Tuesday. For James Lewis, I am Tom Miller saying I hope everybody has an awesome week. And let's get ready for the World Cup.